Glory to God. Okay. We're going to be taking communion tonight. It's been a while since we've done that in a midweek service, so I thought it would be good. I know some of you come here at midweek service, don't get to come on the weekends. And so when we do celebrate communion on the weekends, some of you never get a chance to be part of that. So you guys over here, you see those empty seats in the front? Do you know what I'm going to ask you, right? Come on. I don't preach to empty seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Amelia, your seats are up here. Praise God. When we take communion, we don't just slap it on the end of the service. We believe that communion is an extremely important time. Jesus gave us commandments and instructions on how we're to participate and observe communion. So what we do is when we're going to take communion as a church family, what we do is we dedicate the entire service to that time. So we teach a message that's relatable or relevant to communion so that we can prepare our hearts. We should never do anything in the kingdom of God. We should never do anything as a ritual or just something that, well, this is what we do and that's how we do it. In fact, the scriptures tell us whatever is not done in faith is actually sin. And so it's impossible for you to receive communion by faith and do it properly with reverence without really understanding what is happening in communion. The denomination that I was raised in, many of you also were raised in, we never really had any kind of teaching about communion. It was just part of the end of the Mass, and we did it. We really didn't comprehend what was going on because we were never taught about it. When I got born again and came into this type of a church and first started hearing about communion from the scriptures and all that Jesus accomplished for us, it was mind-blowing to me. This communion, as a Roman Catholic, was special to me to begin with. But then when I found out what the scriptures have to say about it and all that Jesus accomplished on the cross, it just opened up so much to me over these past 40 years. So we're going to study about communion tonight, but I want us to see it from a particular perspective again so that we take communion later. And at some point later on in the service, the ushers will pass out the communion elements. We take communion together as a church family. We don't do it just one at a time, people coming up here one person at a time. We do it in such a way where we're all taking communion, partaking of it together, doing exactly what Jesus said, because he said, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Okay, I want you to understand that we're doing it in remembrance. We're not, when we take communion, we're not crucifying Jesus all over again. We're not celebrating his death. What we are remembering is all that he suffered and endured for us so that we could be children of God and that we could be reconciled with our Father in heaven. Okay, before we get to that, it's something I feel like we need to take care of tonight. I know there's one particular person that I saw this morning in my heart that I was going to be able to be pray for this individual. So we'll do that. But I also know there's a lot of people that are battling sicknesses. There's a lot of individuals. Maybe you have family members, and maybe you might be sitting here tonight and maybe have some symptoms. And so I feel led by the Holy Spirit for us to pray for the sick before we get into this message. Okay? Let me read to you two scriptures. Again, you can't just say, okay, pray for me. We want to prepare our hearts to receive. We receive healing. Amen. Are you listening? Listen, you need to understand this. We receive healing. Okay? All the healing that you're ever going to need to battle any kind of sickness, disease, any abnormality, Jesus already took care of at the cross. Okay? So we receive based on what he's already done. It's not, it's, I know we say things sometimes and we really don't realize what we're saying. It's not proper for us to say, someday I know God's going to heal me. That's not true. It's completely inaccurate. God is not going to heal you in the future. God already put your sickness, your disease, whatever it is, on Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago. And that's why in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, it says, and by his wounds, we are healed. Peter, who was there firsthand and knows exactly what Jesus endured, he says when he writes to the church in 1 Peter 2:24, and by his stripes we were healed. So I want you to understand this. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to have people come up here. We're going to pray for them, and we're going to pray according to the scriptures. All right? And then we'll go into the rest of the service. Is that good? Okay? So let me explain this to you. When how many of you in this room can say without a shadow of a doubt, you're born again, your spirit's alive unto God? Okay. Now, when you ask Jesus to come into your life and you declared your faith in him, did Jesus get off the throne in heaven, go to the cross, get re-crucified so that you could be saved? No. Hebrews tells us that by one sacrifice, once and for all times, he died on the cross, purchased our salvation. So when you and I get born again, when we're receiving from something that has already taken place, yes or no?
Yes.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
So you received salvation based on what Jesus already did.
Yes.
Well, healing operates the same way. Healing is not your future. Just like salvation is not your future. Salvation is in our past. We put our faith in an act that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Are you getting this?
Yes.
I know you said, well, of course. But are you grasping this? Because
yes.
Jesus doesn't get on a cross and die for each individual person. He died once for the whole world for all time.
Yes.
So healing, if healing was purchased for us when Jesus purchased salvation for us, and it was, okay, then we can't be looking for healing in the future. James, Keith is saving a seat over here for you. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So I'm going to go to two scriptures. I'm praying that faith will rise up in your heart. Then I'm going to ask you to come up here, and we're going to pray for you according to the scriptures. Okay? Now, let me just give you one hint. When you're praying for healing, you don't beg God. It's impolite. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. And God's going, I did this already. Christians have gone to the grave prematurely because they were waiting for something to happen in their future instead of receiving based on what happened in the past. Okay? Psalm 103. Verse 1. I know you don't have that in the notes up there, but good, here we go. I'm using the New King James Version. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget what he's done for us. Who forgives all your iniquities, or we could say it this way, who forgives all your sin. Look at the next part. Who heals all your
diseases.
You getting this? Are you getting this?
Yes.
Okay. So he not only forgives our sins, he heals all our diseases. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's go to Isaiah 53. I want you to see it for yourself. Isaiah had this vision of this man being crucified 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 53, we're going to start in verse 4. Nah, let's start in verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our... Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, if you have a type of Bible that has a middle column, it should show you that in Hebrew, griefs and sorrows is sicknesses and physical pain. Amen. In the original language. Are you getting this?
Amen.
Okay. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Now, Isaiah is seeing this vision, and he's thinking within himself, this person is being punished by God, obviously for his sins. Obviously, this is an evil person. Obviously, this is somebody who deserves to be punished. Okay? And then he realizes, wait a second, look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. What's a transgression? Sin, when you go over the mark, when you trespass against God's law. Okay? Look at the next part. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, or we could say it this way and not change the meaning, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his, some translations say wounds, and by his stripes, we're talking about the beating that Jesus took on his back, okay, left all those wounds, and by his stripes, we are healed. Amen?
Amen?
So you got this. So not only does he forgive our sins, he heals all our diseases. He took upon himself all of our sins, all of our iniquity, all of our pains, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. They all came upon him. Because when he carried our sins upon him, then all the results of sin also came upon him. And sickness, disease, everything that's contrary to God's will came upon Jesus because of sin. Sin brought that into the world. Are you getting this?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's go, and then we're gonna pray for the sick. Go to Mark chapter 16. We'll see the instructions that Jesus gave the church before he ascended into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Tim, get ready. You're going to get healed tonight.
Amen.
You're going to receive your healing tonight.
Amen.
Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus speaking, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Damien, I just met you, but this command is for you. The command is for all of us, but it seems like he's using you in a special way. Don't ever forget that. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, say signs.
Signs.
And these signs will follow those who what?
Believe.
Those signs will follow. Lord, give me a sign. Lord, I need a sign. No, signs are supposed to follow you, not you follow signs. Okay? And these signs will follow them who believe. Remember, this is Jesus talking. In my name. So how do we pray? In his name. Are we the ones that do the work?
No.
No, it's in his name. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues.
Amen.
They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. Now look at here's the part we want to get to. Read this out loud with me. 1, 2, 3. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay? Now, listen to me closely. Get ready. Those of you that have come up for prayer, get ready in your heart. Listen to me. Our faith is out for instantaneous. But even in Jesus' ministry, we see that sometimes things were not instantaneous. Here, he promised that when we lay hands on the sick, they will what? Recover. Recovery is a process.
Amen.
But it's the beginning point of the process. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, there was a man that came to Jesus, a nobleman from the city of Cana. Remember, what was Cana known for? Where the water was turned into wine, okay? Well, there's a man there that went and hunted down Jesus and said to him, I need you. My son is sick. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son is healed. Now, he went his way. Now, from where Jesus was to where Cana, obviously it took the man a day to get home. When he gets home, on his way home, his servants come to meet him. And he says, when did he begin to, go read this. King James Version says, when did he begin to amend? What is another word for amend? Recover. And they said yesterday at whatever hour it was, I don't remember. 1 o'clock. I thought it was 1 o'clock, yeah. And so what happened then? The process began at 1 o'clock, and the man realized that's the same time that Jesus said to him the day before, go home, your son lives. So the man's act of faith was not to stand there and say to Jesus, okay, well, when they call me from home and tell me that he's okay, or when I get notice from, no, the man went. As the man went, his son began to be healed. Amen. You got to take action. Amen. You have to take action. You cannot say, well, I'm in faith, but you don't take action. Okay, so the action I'm asking you to do is to get out of your seat, come up here, so that we can pray for you. Tim, come over here. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Obviously, I'm going to need some help here. Pastor Beth, come and help me, please. Pastor Tom. He's mine. I'm praying for him. Move up. All right, can you go down there? Can you come down here? I'll pray for these guys. You can start here, Tom. You can start here and work your way down. What part should you be playing right now? Praying. Don't just sit there. This is not a spectator sport. Pray for the individuals that are here. Okay.
All right, hallelujah.
Come on, stand up. Let's give them thanks. No. You lift your hand. You clap for the president. You lift your hands to God. Amen. We don't put them on the same level as man. We clap for baseball players. We clap for football players. We clap for rock stars. We lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for all that you've begun in the bodies of these that came up for prayer, Father. We trust that you, God, will perfect the things that concern us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have begun a good work in us. We'll complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for recovery tonight, Lord God, beginning tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, sit down. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Glory to God. Okay, those of you that come up for prayer, what are you going to do now if tomorrow morning you wake up and that pain is back? You're going to say, Father, I thank you that last night at the service, I had hands laid on me and the recovery has begun. Amen. Okay? Father, I thank you for the recovery. Father, I thank you that my healing is manifesting in the name of Jesus according to Mark chapter 16. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So we see here the Apostle Paul brings revelation to the church at Corinth that the cup that we drink represents the blood of Christ. The bread that we break represents the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want you to use your imagination tonight. I want you to imagine this scene with me, okay? The King of heaven and earth has prepared a feast in honor of his son. The table has been prepared. The son has taken his place at the head of the table, and it is you and I who have been invited to sit and dine and fellowship with him. We look around the table, we see countless men and women, boys and girls, loved by God, and we are here by invitation. Could you say that, please? I am here
at the table
by invitation. So can you imagine? You've been asked to eat with the King of Glory. And we would certainly prepare ourselves for this occasion. We would dress a certain way. We would conduct ourselves a certain way. We would make sure that our language was cleaned up. Our disposition would all reflect the joy and the honor toward the one who had invited us. Amen. Now, the word communion comes from the Greek word koinonia. And it means partnership, participation, fellowship, community. Jesus is the bread of life that brings us together. We commune, we become one with one another, and most importantly, we become one with him. Okay, now the Lord's Supper was a new thing for the early church, but the idea of eating and drinking in the presence of God was not. And this is something we rarely talk about, but it's so important to know this. For example, in Exodus chapter 24, when the people of Israel were camped before Mount Sinai, just after God had given the Ten Commandments, God called the leaders of Israel up to the mountain to meet with him. Exodus 24, verse 9. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10. And they saw the God of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. Human beings saw the God of Israel. And they saw that there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and like the very heavens in its clarity. Verse 11, but on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. In other words, no danger came to them. So they saw God, and they did what? They ate and drank. God invited these men into his presence, where they dined with him. Some Bible teachers claim that this one who ate and drank with them was the pre-incarnate Jesus himself, the second person of the Trinity. Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Every year the people of Israel were to give a tithe of all their crops. You shall surely tithe, that's 10%, of all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Verse 23, look at this, read it with me. 1, 2, 3. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. You don't have to read the rest. In the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and of your new wine and your oil, all the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. In other words, to hold him in reverence. Amen?
Amen.
God's people were commanded to come into his presence, to eat and to drink before him. But even earlier than that, think about this. Adam and Eve, they fellowshiped with God on a daily basis. So we know darn well there had to be a time when they ate and they drank together in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen? It's what it's all about. Communion is about being together with him. Amen?
Amen?
So, since there was no sin at that point, there was no barrier between them, God then, every meal that Adam and Eve had, would be there with them. They were a picture of the communion that God desires. The Lord's Supper in this church age is far better. Why? Because his very presence is in us.
Amen.
You and I don't have to go to Israel and travel some mountain someplace and try to go up to this mountain and try to meet with God. We don't have to go to Saudi Arabia to find Mount Sinai to climb up there. He lives in us.
Amen?
Amen? So Jesus' payment for our sins has already been accomplished. So now we eat in the Lord's presence with great rejoicing because now we truly can commune with God. There's no barriers anymore. There's nothing stopping us. There's no hindrances. Amen?
Amen.
Are you getting that? I hope you're getting that because, you know, the devil tries to convince people that there's still barriers between you and God. And there's not. As far as he's concerned, his arms are always open to us.
Amen?
Amen? Now, the barrier that stood between us and God has been removed. Now, the offense that keeps us from being one with him is gone. Why? Because Jesus took it upon himself.
Amen?
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 So the Lord's Supper looks forward to a more wonderful fellowship meal with God in the presence, in the future, God's presence in the future. Jesus, you remember Jesus said this at the Last Supper. He said, I tell you that I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine, talking about wine, until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That's in our future. Amen. Amen? Amen? We're told even more explicitly in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to a wedding. Amen. And there's going to be a great banquet there. Amen. And there's going to be more people than you've ever seen in your life and more than you can ever count. Revelation 19:9. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what's going to be going on between the time of the rapture and the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, while all hell is busting out here on earth, we're going to be in heaven for that time, enjoying this supper with Jesus himself. Amen? Amen? I hope they don't have seafood. I hope there's a, maybe when we get to heaven, there's a card. Pick what you want. You want the chicken dish, you want the steak, you want the... From Genesis to Revelation, then, God's aim has been to bring his people into fellowship with himself, into communion. And yet, right now, here he is. He's here. We are in the presence of the King, and it's communion. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. He's here. He's here. When we went to Bible school, if Pastor Cap was in here, Pastor Pam was in here, they would remember this. There was a gentleman, now we went to church on campus there where the Bible school was, and any given Sunday there had to be 3,000-4,000 people. So on the very front row, every Sunday was the gentleman there. He used to dress a little eccentric. You always could pick him out of the crowd. And at some point, usually right after praise and worship, that guy always had a scarf on. No matter what time of the year it was, always had a scarf. Cap, you remember this? And this little guy would jump up of the front row and start going, he's here, he's here, he's here, the Holy Ghost, he's here, he's here. And I'm telling you, there'd be times when he did that, that you would feel the Spirit of God just sweep right across that room. Well, guess what? He's here. Turn to somebody and say, he's here. He's here. You brought him with you. Amen. So, where two or three gather in my name, there I am in their midst, and he is here tonight. Not literally in the bread of the cup, as some believe, but here in our presence. We don't need, look at me, because if you came out of the same background I did, we don't need the bread to turn into flesh. We don't need the cup to turn into blood, because he's here. Are you getting this? He's here. Amen? So today, in the presence of the King of Glory who suffered and died, we take communion. We remember the things. Now, watch us now. Let's now prepare our hearts to receive communion together. Knowing that we're invited to the table of the King of the universe, let's remind ourselves of a few things here. Number one, the King decides who is invited. Amen. The King decides who's invited. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died once and for all, we are invited, and he invites whosoever will believe can come, whosoever will can partake of communion with us. Okay? The bread and the cup are symbols of the grace of God towards us, and they speak, come, come one, come all, place your faith in him and partake of that celebration. He has removed the stumbling blocks to our relationship with the Father, and we hear it in many different ways. You heard from the mouth of Jesus, the invitation, come all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Amen. So expect when we take communion tonight, if you're beat down, if you're depressed, if you feel like the whole weight of the world is on your shoulders, receive communion tonight and take him at his word. He said for you to come to him, that you were weary and burdened, And he'll do what? He'll give us rest. Come all who hunger and thirst. Come blessed of my Father and enter into your reward. Amen. It is not our place. Listen to me closely because I want to deal with something here. It is not our place to limit who comes to receive. Now watch this now. Some of you are sitting here tonight and in the past could not take communion where you went to church because they came up with a man-made rule that if you were divorced, you could not receive communion. There is absolutely no place in the Word of God that it puts that kind of restriction on anybody. Amen. Nowhere. I especially make sure that I deal with this because it's inevitable. In the early years of this church, I would see people, they would, when we used to pass communion, okay, they wouldn't take it. They felt unworthy because some man came up with a man-made idea that said if you are divorced, you can't take communion. So, I want you to understand this. Communion is the grace of God. Amen. It is not our place to withhold the grace of God from anybody. Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, so if you've been underneath that, throw it off. It's not for you. Number two, the king deserves honor. And we honor Jesus at the table in a number of ways. And one of the greatest ways to honor someone is to place value on what they achieved. In this case, Jesus, the Lamb of God, allowed himself to become the sacrifice that would satisfy God the Father's demand for punishment for sinners. We don't like to hear this. We always want to stress God is love, God is love, God is love. Is God love?
Yes.
Was he always love?
Yes.
Will he always be love?
Yes.
But is God just?
Yes.
Absolutely. And he's judge. And so he can't wink at sin. He can't sweep sin under the carpet. So sin had to get dealt with. But in his love, instead of sin getting dealt with on your life, on my life, he took it and put it on Jesus.
Amen.
So sin has been paid for. It just hasn't been paid for by you or by me.
Amen.
Just for that alone, we need to give him thanks. Amen. We remember all that Jesus did because if he didn't do that, we would have to pay for our punishment for all of eternity paying for our sin. And the fact is he is worthy of our faith, our trust, our confidence. He has earned it. We honor the king every time we take communion together. It's an act of faith. Jesus used his faith to go to the cross. Jesus had to have faith that the promises that his Father made about resurrection, God the Father was actually going to keep his word.
Amen.
Number three, the king deserves our everything. There's nothing that you and I should withhold from him.
Amen.
Communion is a perfect way to recommit our lives unto the Lord who purchased us with his blood. God desires that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is probably one of the most important chapters in Judaism. One of the most important because Deuteronomy chapter 6 contains a prayer that even down to this day, every Jewish child learns at a very, very young age. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's called the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Jesus would have prayed this. Paul would have prayed this. Prophets would have prayed this. And right now, there's probably individuals, neighbors in our community that prayed this morning when they got up and will pray it before they go to bed tonight. Now look what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Look at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That wasn't a New Testament idea. That was a basic foundation of faith in the Old Testament. Romans chapter 12, I believe, is kind of Paul's version of the Shema. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What did he say? That you would love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength.
Amen.
Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Look at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
You get anything tonight?
Yes.
Every redeemed person, every disciple of Christ must be consecrated to God, entirely separated to live for him, for his will, for his work, for his honor. Ushers, can you get ready to pass out the communion elements, please? Michael, Raina, can you come up? Now, for those of you who are joining us tonight for the first time for communion, you're going to receive a little cup. Make sure that you wait so that we all partake of communion together. I'll give you further instructions. Hallelujah. Once you receive your communion cup, would you please stand? We're gonna worship the Lord before we actually take communion together. Once you receive your cup, you can stand up, please. Once you've got your communion cup, please stand. Can I ask you to do something? Because communion is about us all coming together in the presence of the Lord, yet we're all scattered all over this room. Will you all come out of your seats and just gather up here and we'll worship together and then we'll take communion together? Spread out across the front there, please. Those of you that are in front, move up if you have to. We should be able to get 3 rows of individuals. Hallelujah. Well, they don't do it like this at my church. Well, you're not in your church. And there's a first time for everything. Could you move up, please? That's okay. Come on, let's worship. Remember, communion is fellowship, it's partnering, it's interacting. Jesus offers himself to us and we offer ourselves to him. Jesus gave himself wholly, entirely for me, for you. And therefore we are to give ourselves wholly for him. He yielded his life for ours, and we are now to yield our life for his. Matthew chapter 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So just peel that plastic off the top there, which I see is easier said than done. Somebody that doesn't have fat fingers, come and help me. Amen. All right, lift this up. Lift up that wafer. And recognize what you're holding in your hands. What you hold in your hands. Did you not get one? Stand. Somebody grab the cup for him. Stephen, could you see there's a cup on the... Here, take this one. Here, we got it here. I just peel that plastic off the top. All right, what you're holding in your hand, what we're all holding in our hands, is symbolic of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the physical body. Notice this is bread that you have in your hand. And Jesus called himself the bread of life that came down from heaven, just like that manna in the wilderness. All right, it's no coincidence Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Amen. He is the bread of life who sustains us. Amen. Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for all that it represents. We thank you, Father, for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he took upon himself at the cross all of our suffering, all of our sin, all of our shame and our disgrace, all of our sicknesses, our diseases, all of the oppression, every mental illness, every emotional trauma, he took upon himself at the cross, and by his wounds, we were healed. So, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we receive this bread. Thank you for your blessing upon it. We receive it with gratitude and thanksgiving as we remember all that Jesus has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead. Just peel that foil off the top, please. Now this, I want you to understand what you're holding in your hand. The bread is symbolic of his body, but the blood, this cup, symbolizes and represents the most powerful entity in the universe. Because it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that Satan was defeated. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I were purchased. This is what God required. For the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, Leviticus, that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. So if Jesus had just offered his body but not his blood, our salvation would be incomplete. Now watch. God the Father in heaven received the blood of his son on the earth as payment for your sins and for my sin. Just like God would receive the blood of goats and lambs in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, they only covered the people's sins. Jesus took upon himself our sin, therefore removing it from us. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God who took away the sin of this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not withhold. You did not withhold the most precious thing that you had, and that was your blood. The blood that cleansed us, the blood that forgave us, the blood that redeemed us and ransomed us out of the slavery of sin. For all of eternity, Lord Jesus, we're going to remember the blood that you shed on our behalf. We're going to remember your sacrifice. And we receive this cup with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I pray that tonight's been a blessing to you. I pray that you either learned something or received something. Something was imparted into you that you'll remember in the future. For those of you that came up and received prayer for healing, remember that by his stripes you were healed. Remember that the recovery started tonight. Healing is yours. Jesus purchased it for us. Don't let the devil convince you that you should be suffering this thing. He's trying to teach. No, Jesus took it upon himself. Therefore, do not accept that sickness. Do not see it as anything else other than something that's illegal to be on your body. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything else tonight before we leave, please remain up here. If not, God bless you. You're dismissed.